I guess we'll sleep on the field. I'm sorry for the amount of time I wasted. I really regret. What haven't we spoken about? We've spoken about everything. All right. I'm going to try to very quickly talk about the topic of Masa Kesafim and Tzedaka. Okay. Tzedaka and Maaser Kesafim. You heard the term Maaser Kesafim? There's a minhag among Ashkenazim, which we'll soon find out, to basically take off a tenth of what a person earns and give it to tzedakah. Now, the mitzvah of tzedakah itself is an interesting topic to focus on. Is it a mitzvah to take money and search out an ani to give it to? Or is it specifically a mitzvah when an ani comes to you and asks you for tzedakah? That's a machalkus rishonim. I'm talking on the diraita level. Is the mitzvah to give him what, you know, give him a dollar or two or $10 or $100? Or does it have to be day mechsaro in order to be mechaim the mitzvah diraita? Do you have to give him exactly what he needs for that moment? I'm not going to be delving that much into it. On a practical level, it's rare to be able to, you know, fulfill a person's needs completely, and, you know, if he knocks at your door. What I want to focus more on is the aspect of Maaser Kesafim. There are a number of different shitot when it comes to Maaser Kesafim. I mentioned, as an example, the Rambam does not really doesn't mention any kind of a minhag of Maaser Kesafim. The Rambam says if a poor person asks you for money, you're supposed to give him what he needs. A regular person would give up to a tenth of what he has available. What he earns, let's say, and someone who's really, really yotzim in a klal would give 20% of what he has. But according to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah to specifically take a portion of a tenth of what you earn in order to try to give it to aniyim. There are some, as an example, a Toso in Tanit, that feel that it's a mitzvah diaraita, an inyan diaraita, to be mafrish ma'asik safim, to separate a tenth. And Tosos quotes the pasuk aser ta'aser mikol tfuatcha zaracha, taking from the mitzvah of being mafrish ma'aser, aser ta'aser mikol tfuatcha zaracha. Tosos quotes a very interesting sifri that says that's ma'asik safim. The problem is that we don't have a girsa of a sifri that says that. In other words, it seems as though Tosfos had some kind of a gift of free. We don't have that. Most deot are that Masik Safim is either a Takana de Rabbanan, like the Maharil believed, or a Minhag, as the Maharami Rothenberg believed. What's the difference if it's a Takana de Rabbanan or a Minhag, or the Araita? Well, one simple thing is in a situation of a Safek. Because if you're talking about something on a derabbanan level, so you say safek derabbanan lekula. If you're talking about something that's a minhag, perhaps there's even more room to be makil. Rav Lichtenstein mentioned to me that he follows Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who said to him that he feels that ma'asik safim is a minhag, and therefore when it comes to that, heche de nohug nohug, heche de lon nohug lon nohug. As an example, Ashkenazim generally have that minhag. Svaradim generally don't have the minhag of giving of being nafish masik safim. Another nafkamina, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach mentions that if you never did it before in your life, the first time you do it, you should say, from now on, any time that I'm going to be nafish masik safim, I want it to be bli neder. I don't want to accept it on myself as some kind of a neder, so that it doesn't get to a possible, you know, diraisa on a neder level. And by doing that, you're basically defining the act that you're going to do for the rest of your life as not being a neder, but something that you'll attempt to do. Now, when a person gives ma'asek safim, what could the money go for? Are you allowed to give it to, I don't know, cancer research? Or do you have to daf to give it to aniyim? Are you allowed to give it to a yeshiva? Okay, or again, maybe not, because maybe it has to go to tzedakah mamash, which is to help poor people. Okay, now, if you understand like Tosfot did, that it's some kind of a parallel to Maaser, and there are some Rishonim that say some type of an idea like that, that if it's learned from Maaser, it would be learned to Maaser Ani, and therefore it specifically only should be given to Aniim. The Marami Messerberg, not the Marami Rottenberg, the Marami Messerberg, which is wrote a sefer called the Mi'il Tzedek. Some people called him the Baal Mi'il Tzedek. Some people called him the Mi'ili, not the Mi'iri, but the Mi'ili. Okay, he paskin that you can give maaser, your masik safim, to any maaser of chesed, of mitzvah. It doesn't specifically have to be given only to aniyim. So again, there are some that hold that specifically has to be going to aniyim. The second possibility is that you could give it to support Torah. There's actually a Medrash Tanchuma that says that refers to being mafresh maaser to give to support of Torah. A third level would be to give it to gemilat chasadim. In other words, like yeshiva has a gemach that lends money and the money gets reused and recycled, gemilat chasadim. And the fourth possibility is to put it towards other mitzvot. Okay? There's an interesting machloket among the achronim. Can a person use his maaser ksafim to give it to the shul for candles to light the shul? Obviously, the modern day parallel to that is electric bill, to pay the electric bill of the shul, or whatever needs the shul has. Can I use my maaser ksafim and to give it to the shul? So the Ramah and the Orach HaShulchan felt very, very strongly that it was asur. That the minog specifically is given to aniyim, and anybody who uses it for any other type of use is gezel aniyim. You're actually stealing from aniyim according to these poskim. The Me'ili, however, the Marami Messerberg, the Shach and the Taz feel that not only is it mutter to give to Beit Knesset, if a person has a personal need, as an example, to buy svarim, and makes the svarim available for the public use, he should write in the sefer bought with maaser ksafim and make it available for anybody who wants to use it. But a person is allowed to use his maaser ksafim and go ahead and buy svarim, this way doing a mitzvah and also chesed on some level to be able to lend it to others. Okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach gives the following eitzah or direction. That number one, when a person's mafresh maaser ksafim, as I said before, he says bli neder. Secondly, he specifically says, I'm not being mafresh specifically for aniyim, I'm being mafresh maaser ksafim. Lastly, what he advises is that the rov of your maaser ksafim, meaning 51%, should specifically go to aniyim. And the other 49%, you could decide what you want to do with it. Because if you want to use it to give it to cancer research, or to give it to yeshiva, or to give part of it to this or to that. Okay, if a person is in a situation where he's so poor that he can't afford tefillin, as an example, he's still chayiv to give tzedakah. And what he could do is he could actually use his maaser ksafim towards a maaser mitzvah. Okay, meikra adin. But that's the eitzah that he gives. Okay, what about using it? I might answer your question. Wait. What about using your maaser ksafim? Let's say we're going in the direction of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that it's a minhag, and that therefore it is legitimate to use it for other purposes than aniyim. What about using it for a chiyuv, an obligation that you already had from before? As an example, using it for matnot la'aniyim on Purim. Okay, that was a previous existing chov. Or another example, let's say you live in a place like Alon Shvut, where they levy a tax on everybody, every family who's on Alon Shvut, to pay 45 shekel a month to the Beit Knesset fund, to support the Beit Knesset. That's a chov that anybody who's on Alon Shvut has. are you allowed to use it, even though on one hand it is going to a Maisa Mitzvah, but on the other hand, you're kind of paying off a chov. In other words, you're using Maisa Ksafim so that you don't have to use your own money to give something that to give to something that you would have to give to. Okay? And here the Maharil says that it would be osur to do that. Okay? However, the Tshuva Pnei Yoshua, the Pri Chodosh, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, all of the opinion that if ultimately the money is going for a Maisa Mitzvah, like the upkeep of a shul, even if you have a personal chiyuv to do that, it's mutter to do that. And one of the biggest nafkaminot has to do with using my sixofin for educational purposes. In other words, let's say you have children, Bezrat Hashem, or maybe grandchildren one day, who knows, right? And you mafish your my sixofin, and you want to use it to pay the tuition, so that your son could go to Israel, or stay in Israel, and learn Torah. Okay? Would it be mutter to do that? So here too, we have a machlokas. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he seems to be going more in the direction of the Ramah that I mentioned before. In other words, where the Ramah felt it was a mikra din, a din of aniyim, and you shouldn't be giving your ma'aser ksafim outside of aniyim. As I mentioned before, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach feels that 49% is legitimate to give to non-aniyus. So what Moshe Feinstein paskins about using my successor towards tuition, what he says in every yeshiva, elementary school, high school, yeshiva gedola, a certain percentage of the tuition that they collect is kind of covering for families that can't afford to pay full tuition. And if a person could calculate, as an example, take the entire budget of the yeshiva and divide it by the number of students, and get to a particular sum, and then you realize that the tuition is above that sum, so the amount that's above that sum, you're actually supporting aniyim, you know, supporting people that weren't able to pay. So if, you know, for argument's sake, you know, it was $1,000 above, you know, here you're paying $1,000 above your share, that $1,000 you could use for my success, and that's what Rav Moshe says. I've spoken about this to Rav Lichtenstein. And Rav Lichtenstein felt, based on guidance that he felt that Rav Shlomo Zalman gave him, he felt it was legitimate to use Maisa Ksafim, at least for 49%, towards tuition of your children. Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with another question that's posed to him, and that is, a guy asked him, well look, according to the halacha, you're not chayav to support your children after age 6. Because after age 6, they're technically capable of begging from door to door. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, any amount of money that you give your kid after he's 6 years old, anything you buy him or feed him, whatever, technically is like tzedakah. Because you're not chayav. Okay? That's what this person asked from Moshe. And Moshe said, well, that would be legitimate, except that the law in the United States is that you're chayav to support your child until whatever it is, age 18. And therefore, the law doesn't allow you to look at your child as though he's an ani, and that you're actually supporting him. However, if you follow the you know, a similar idea, you know, I'm extrapolating beyond what Rav Moshe says. You're talking about your son who's over 18. So the truth is that anything you give him after that is technically could be looked at as tzedakah. So that would be another room to be makil, even according to Shita of Moshe Feinstein, when it comes to the issue of tuition. Yes?
Going back to what you said before about tefillin, would one be allowed to spend Maaser Ksafim on an etrog?
Again, only if a person is not capable of being kind of mitzvah without it. In an etrog, it's not really the case, because an etrog, the reality is, the real mitzvah etrog is l'kachtum l'chem, you pick it up, you shake, 30 seconds, you finish the mitzvah. You file, so you can always borrow somebody's. You're not chayav to buy your own etrog in today's reality.
With tefillin, let's say, then would you have to then donate it to be a general use fund, or can you keep it as your
Again,
own?
I don't know how many people that I'm aware of are in such dire straits that they don't have the money to buy tefillin, but yes, technically. Yes, Josh.
The allowance for using that for education, that's only Jewish education?
Jewish education being a mitzvah, yes. Unless you take the other direction of seeing your son, who's over 18, as an ani, and who doesn't have a penny to his name, and we're going to get to the definition of ani a little bit later if we have time, then it would make a difference. Whatever you give him would be tzedakah. Yeah?
What about taxes in Israel?
I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Yeah?
In retrospect, can you say, like, oh, after I gave tuition, can you say, oh, that money was for Meister or whatever? Or you have to realize before you gave it?
I think you have to realize before you gave it. I'm not sure you could say, oh, whatever I gave in the past. Yeah, last question, and then I think I'll be answering a lot of your questions.
Dafka Niam in your area? Or any
what?
Is it Dafka Niam in your area? Or
how to allocate money is a little bit out of the scope of what I'm speaking about. Generally speaking, the Niam in your area take precedence. Generally speaking. Okay. What do you have to give my Sikhsafin from? So, as I said, generally speaking, income or salary is what you have to give your ma'isik safin from. If a person gives you a present, mi'ikar adin, you're all supposed to give ma'isik safin. If a person gives you, I don't know, a car, and you don't have the money to give the ma'isik safin for the value of the car, so I would say that a person should save up and eventually try to be able to give the ma'isik safin on that. The more prevalent minhag is to give ma'isik safin for actual income.
Pre-tax.
Well, I'll get that. If a person receives money that is earmarked for specific use, as an example, your parents give you money to buy clothes in Israel, or they give you money to buy food, or they give you money for specific use, then that's not considered as though you got that money. It's not really your money. Similarly, if you get a scholarship that specifically says you have to use it towards tuition or that you have to use it towards books, etc., etc., that also is not considered income, and therefore you wouldn't give ma'isik safin. When it comes to defining what type of income is chayv in ma'isik safin, it's strikingly similar, almost exactly the same, as tax laws. In other words, if something would be taxable income or not taxable income, it's very, very similar. As an example, profit. A person who... Alright, let me first discuss the period of making the calculation. A person, according to Avshalom Zalman Orbach, a person should be koveya a period in which he decides, at the end of this period, I'm going to give my succession. And according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one should limit it to the maximum of 1 year. As a person shouldn't say, okay, over the next 20 years, I'll make my cheshbon at the end of 20 years, and then I'll give my succession. Right? A person should limit it to a year. If a person wants to give monthly, then he can. The advantage of having it a year is you're allowed to also calculate your losses. Let's say, as an example, you make a certain salary a year, but in that year, your car got totaled. Okay, for example, okay, and you lost an incredible amount of money on the car, and the insurance is not going to cover it, right? So that's a loss, and you in the cheshbon of ma'isik safin, you deduct that loss. It's legitimate to deduct that loss and say basically that year I didn't profit or I didn't have an income of such and such, but rather minus a different amount. When is something considered income? So both according to Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's only after you realize the profit. In other words, if you own a stock, or if you own a property, or if you own anything, and it all of a sudden goes up in value, let's say you own a chunk of gold, it goes up in value, so you don't say, oh, I just made, $10,000 because it went up in value. No. Until you actually sell it, you didn't make any profit. The day you sell it is the date or the part of the year that you have to make a cheshbon that was considered your income. Similarly, if a person sells a house that, let's say, he bought 20 years ago for $20,000 and now he sells a house for $200,000 after 20 years, so yes, you might say he profited $180,000, but when it comes to ma'isik safin, and similar to tax, there's also an issue of a rollover, meaning every family, human being, wants to live in the house, so you, even if you just sold it for $200,000, you want to buy another house. And if you're using that money to buy another house to replace the house that you just sold, so then it's not considered realizing any profit at all. Inflation is also should be calculated, or can be calculated, when it comes to money earned or profited. As you could minus the amount that inflation ate away at your profits for that year. What if a person gets into a car accident and his insurance does cover the cost, and his insurance writes him out a check for $10,000? Okay, that is not profit. That's payment of damages, because he lost $10,000 in the value of his car, and therefore he hasn't lost anything and he hasn't gained anything, and that's not considered income when it comes to my success. I mean, an interesting shiloh that Tzitz Eliezer deals with is people who went through the Holocaust, and after a certain point of time got reparations, okay, for what happened in the Holocaust, let's say to pay them for their home that was taken, or for any type of material loss, etc. So someone raises the question that there's Yeush. That was when the Nazis came and took away the guy's car or his home or whatever it is, so he was mityayish, meaning he gave up Balut 100%. And therefore, he deals with the question is, when all of a sudden, for some reason, many years later, the Germans come up and pay him the money that was taken from him, according to Tzitz Eliezer, that should be considered income or profit because of the Yeush. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagrees on that point, and he says that if international law would always keep them responsible for what they stole, so even if the Baal was mityayish when it happened, it's kind of like Yeush b'taut, because he didn't realize that there's a international law that's going to return his property, and therefore according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a person wouldn't have to give any amount of money on that type of reparations. Another calculation that is legitimate to make is expenses, but not normal living expenses. We're talking about expenses that you use in towards making a profit. In other words, eating a meal or living in a house, or even, you know, owning a car, running a car, is not necessarily expenses. But if you buy a car specifically because of your business, or you, let's say, send yourself to school in order to become a lawyer so that you could later make money, or whatever type of investment you make towards making money, that is considered an investment and an expense, and therefore also could be deducted from a person's income. Taxes. If a person pays, let's say, makes $100,000 in the year and pays $30,000 income tax, so according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that is not those $30,000 that he paid in income tax, or even in Social Security, is not considered income, and therefore that person wouldn't have to give $10,000 in Maaseh Ksavim, but rather $7,000 in Maaseh Ksavim. However, when a person gets Social Security payments when he retires, those payments are considered income, and a person should be mafresh Maaseh Ksavim from it. Okay. Very interestingly, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out, I think someone started to say this, in, let's say, any country, a certain percent of your dollar goes to help poor people. Okay? And a certain percentage of your dollar goes to other Maaseh Mitzvah. As an example, Milchemes Mitzvah. That's a pretty big Maaseh Mitzvah. Okay? And if I don't know what percentage of the Israel budget, the entire budget goes to, let's say, defense, that percentage, okay, would be legitimate to basically say, let's say for argument's sake, for every shekel I give, 20% goes to either helping Aniyim or the armed defense of the state of Israel, or the Maaseh Chesed at that point. It would be legitimate for me to look at every shekel I earn, or I'm sorry, every shekel that I pay in taxes, to say 20% of what I pay in taxes are actually going, it's almost as though I'm donating it to chesed or to tzedakah, therefore lowering the amount of my suffering that I ultimately have to give. Sales tax, according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, is not considered, you don't calculate sales tax at all, meaning you don't gain by the fact that you're paying sales tax. If they take away 16% of every dollar you spend, too bad. You still had to give a dime on every dollar to Ma'asik Safin. Similarly, municipal taxes, which goes to garbage collection or paying the police force or whatever, those are services that you're, so to speak, buying with your tax dollars, and that's also doesn't help you in the least. Questions so far? Yes?
Two questions. One, is it income or can it be capital gains as well?
Capital gains on a stock that's sold.
Okay, but
not on something that wasn't sold.
Not on dividends or just increasing.
A dividend is an income.
Okay,
just like the IRS would be considering it an income.
But it needs to be liquid in order for it to be considered income.
You mean reinvested? You reinvest the dividends?
No, that if my stock value were to go up, theoretically I'm worth more, but I don't have access to it.
Right, so I'm saying stock value is not relevant until
okay.
you sell the stock.
Okay.
Dividend check that is mailed to you is relevant.
Okay,
okay. Yeah.
Do you have to take into account any tax breaks that you would get by using your Ma'asik stock?
Yeah.
So does that count as income? But
yeah.
You now have to.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. In other words, it's not. Let me put it this way. We'll go to the example. $100,000. Let's say Uncle Sam takes $30,000. But from that $30,000, because you gave a lot of tzedakah, so Uncle Sam sends you back $5,000.
So then that's
as though you did earn. And originally, you only look at it as you earned $70,000. But in reality, it's as though you earned $75,000. Because Uncle Sam didn't take 30, he only took $25,000. So on that $5,000, on the amount that the tax return, money they returned or didn't tax you, you would pay. Yeah.
If your debts exceed your income, such as like student loans or something, would you still be high up to pay on your income?
A debt is not a loss. You owing money doesn't have any effect on it whatsoever. It's when you actually pay those debts. In other words, when you start paying off your student loan, that could be seen as an expense as though you didn't earn it. Yes, Zach.
If Uncle Ben is against Halakha, or like morally debatable,
like you run a casino, let's say.
Let's say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference.
Why?
I'm not with you.
Why? Okay, let's say actually like faster, like your job.
Huh?
Let's say your job is actually.
Let's say you're a car thief.
Let's say.
You're saying you're a car thief and you steal a car and the car's worth £100,000. Is that considered income?
Yeah.
I was never asked that question. But I see your point. I mean, there are some Jewish businessmen that come about their business, you know, their money in an unethical or even usher way. Interesting. I guess if a person's on the madrega that he's giving Ma'asik Safin, you know, he should just give back the money he stole. To where he stole from. I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. I'm sorry. I guess the best thing is to be machmir and simply not to steal. Yes?
Scholarships that are intended towards education verbally, but are not actually...
Right, that's not income. It's not income. In other words, if it's funds that are earmarked that you have to, by law, spend specifically for this, that, or the other thing, doesn't make a difference. Your mother gives you $100 to buy bananas, as an example. It's not your $100. Yeah.
So, if your parents support you and you still make money, you have to do.
They report you as a dependent, you're saying. And you still make money? I think, I don't know what the tax laws are, but that has no relevance to my success. Because if you, I don't know, you worked and you made yourself $1,000, so you give $100 to my success. Yeah.
So even if you were allocated X amount of dollars
by
some university to do research during the summer, so that none of that is for my circus stuff, and even though.
In other words, if let's say you're in some kind of a scholarship where you have to go to California and they support you while you are doing this research, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think you have to give my circus stuff for that. Yes.
If your payment is not in a monetary form, let's say you're on a kibbutz and you work and in exchange you get housing and food, then would you have to pay for the value of the food?
I don't think so, no. No. Yeah.
When my parents give me money, do I have to give again Meister on that, or can I just...
If your parents, you know, if your parents say, here, son, take $1,000 to spend on anything you want, so you should give Meister Kesefin on that. If your parents give you money and say, this is for X, Y, or Z, in other words, if your parents gave you $1,000, whatever you want, and you went ahead and, let's think of something really frivolous. You, I don't know, bought the entire yeshiva pizza for a week. Something that they wouldn't be happy with, right?
That's something they would be happy with.
Oh, they'd be happy with that, okay.
What's about our own pizza?
No, I'm saying is you used it in a way that you know, they wouldn't necessarily approve of. But they realize they gave it to you, then it's your money. But if they give you money and there's strings attached to the money and you really don't have the freedom to do whatever you want with it, then it's not considered income.
And if you say that, and then they
then
say...
Then those, if you come to if you come to my house, let's say for a meal, okay, for argument's sake, and I give you, let's say, some cholent at the meal. So that cholent could be worth, I don't know, $50. But you're not high of $5 to tzedakah when you leave my house. You follow, you know, it's not, because the cholent really isn't yours. It's not mutter for you, let's say, to fill your pocket and walk out with a cholent. It's not, no, there's strings attached to that cholent. It really doesn't belong to you.
And would you be able to say then, oh, if I have to give maestro, so then obviously my parents are like supporting me, so they could, whatever money they're giving me, that's, that can call the maestro money? Like,
only
like
if you're, no, it's, you see, it's only if you have a status of an ani, which I don't know if I have time to talk about. You know, not everybody has the status of an ani. Yeah.
If your parents really gave Master Kesefin on it, and then really you're just essentially swiping their credit card.
Yeah, okay, so let's say your parents are not going to give my Kesefin. And then they give you $1,000 to spend whatever you want. You have to give another $100, because for you it's income.
And is it
that, in that way, it's different from Maaser, let's say, Perot.
Right. And then also, in a family situation or... where you have multiple people with multiple incomes, and it's a husband or wife or whatever.
Whatever the income is.
Each individual one chayav to give 10%.
Well, however, that yes, and any amount of money that came in, the person should give Meister Kesefin. But sometimes a man and wife, you know, pool everything together and make a chesed together. And sometimes they have them separate yonim of Meister Kesefin. Yes.
In the case of like someone giving money, it's a gift.
Yes, doesn't make a difference. It's not relevant if it's a gift. It is income.
You have to pay tax to get this income.
There's a certain amount of a gift, I think, in the United States. You can give a gift and receive a gift and not give taxes on it.
Yeah.
It's up to a certain amount, yes. But in the Meister Kesefin world, this is one of the differences between the taxes and the Meister Kesefin world. A gift is something you should give Meister Kesefin for. Again, on an item that you get, I can understand it's hard to just give Meister Kesefin, but... Yes, Michael. I'm sorry, yes.
Josh,
sorry.
Yerusha.
I have what? Two more days to learn your name, no?
Sure. Yerusha.
Yerusha person gives my Kesefin on. Yes.
Kol Ostafin.
Huh?
Kol Ostafin.
You give my Kesefin on. Okay. Any other questions? Because a call stipend, you're really allowed to do whatever, anything you want with that money. You're not chayav to use it for living expenses. Obviously, you have living expenses, and the call wants to cover that. But it's not as if you're chayav to use it for living expenses. And as if a person's independently wealthy and doesn't need it for living expenses at all, he doesn't have to use it for one thing or the other. There's no strings attached on it.
Maybe the same thing for research, though. Like if someone, you know, gets a grant to do a certain study, and they already happen to have some of the materials accessible to them, they won't be using that money for it.
Yeah, maybe. If it's free, yeah. Yes?
If you get 50% of your income to a yeshiva, for example, and you know that that's going to get back as an undisclosed date in, what, 5 or 6 years, for example.
Get it back from the yeshiva?
Yeah.
How do you do that? You'd have to work for the yeshiva to get it back. What? No, that wouldn't make a difference if it was a yeshiva or any other Jew. That would be an act of gemilas chasadim. You're doing gemilas chasadim with your money. When they give the money back, you do other gemilas chasadim with it. In other words, well, if you earmarked it as Masik Safim, it's not yours, but it could be something that you could use, a fund, to, you know, help institutions, to help people by lending them money.
Would it be fine when he does it back?
Yes, in other words, if you lent them 100,000 quid and you got it back, you would take the same 100,000 quid and either give it to Anim or give it back to, you know, use it in some other way. It's not yours. Yeah.
A scholarship that's a bond. You would pay when the bond matures.
A scholarship as a bond?
You were given a bond. That's meant for anything.
That's meant for anything you want?
Yeah.
This is your bond.
Yes.
You're paying when the bond
matures. Yes, when the bond matures. Yes. Yes.
Can I take from my parents' money and give that to my sister? Like, if they're giving me money, so that I could just take.
No, so they give you a credit card, and you know if you're going to swipe it for 100, so you swipe for 110 to cover yourself? Yes.
Then you have to give it that. I didn't have to say that.
Yeah. You have very nice parents. Any other questions? We'll stop here.